So I wanted to go back to something you said earlier about dealing with the social service agencies and signing and people's impression that they're so hard and that they can't. Why do you think that is, that the impression that social service agencies, when you go there to get some help, is so hard on people?
They are truly hard on people. And it's not people of color, it's everybody. There's not a specific group that these people are. I sat there for days and hours waiting my turn. And you can see the numbers of people that come in that need help. And you can see it basically like she looked at me and saw that I needed help. I was physically disabled at that time, and she could see it. Plus, my speech was impaired. But she told me, I had a real nice caseworker. She told me the reason why they send me to the doctors and take a long time to do for you is because we have abused the government. People have come in and made up stories why they need help and get the help. So now they have, the standards are hard now. Mm-hmm. They're different. They have made it where if you're real, you're going to wait. If you need help, you will see it. And you'll be determined like I was to be there every day, to come when they tell me to come.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's almost like there's so many people that are abusing the system and taking advantage of it that they literally now set up a system and a structure for you to have to go through lots of changes and consistently come back so that they determine that you really aren't faking it so you can get the benefit.
Basically, it's 120 days for Social Security that they look at you, examine you, and so much paperwork. I had so much paperwork in the beginning. And it's good that I could use the computer because I couldn't use them. I couldn't fill all that out. It's like 2 or 3 hours worth of applications. Mm. And that was just the beginning. So for you, you got to learn patience and be for real.
Mm. So you're now cooking for yourself, washing clothes, going to church. I mean, are you pretty much doing a large part of what you were doing before the stroke?
Yes, minus the little things. Mm-hmm. I can cook certain things and make things easy. I think that I would like to cook meals that are simple. You would imagine you need to cut up an onion for your gravy and stuff. Well, I don't even buy onions now because I can't cut them up. And there's no way really but practice. Mm-hmm. I have a pair of scissors, and I sit some days and just cut paper to get the strength to do that. I can use scissors to cut onions and cut up meat because they have kitchen chairs. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how. At first, I had to cut paper all day.
Because you could always buy chopped onions.
Yes, but I need that therapy.
Right.
I need to do this. That's not economical anyway. They spoil quicker than the other onions. Mm-hmm. So I have to learn that. But I've never been one to take the easy way out.
So there are things that you could probably do that would be easier for you, though they might cost a little bit more, but you're using those things as a part of your therapy to get stronger in other things that you're doing.
Yes, my therapist said don't take the easy way out, and I don't. In fact, I'm rushing things, and they told me not to rush so fast because I'm still in the recovery stage. Mm-hmm. And me as a nurse, I forgot myself. It takes about a year for everything to come back. Mm. And I'm just 3 months into this, so I have a long way to go. So I must have patience.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think maybe one of the last questions. You were in a different state of mind prior to this, and prior to having a stroke. And I know that a lot of times people think you know, they try to look back and blame or try to point a finger or why something may have happened. But what state of mind were you in prior to this? Because maybe it's helpful to other people to look at what state of mind they're in. So what state of mind were you in prior to this? What were you thinking?
I took it for granted that I was a smoker, a drinker. I took it for granted I could smoke and do this. I am a diabetic. I was a diabetic before this. And I was thinking all these things contributed to it. People steady telling me what to do, the doctors, and I just ignored it. But they really just try to help you. Because that can be a causative for the stroke.
Yeah.
And us as Black people, we really need to get a blood pressure check. You don't even have to be a smoker. You just have to be a person of color. Get your blood pressure checked and take your medicine.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing. Is there anything else that you'd want to say, or what would you want to say to anyone else that's listening to this, whether it's their kids, whether it's their family members, whether it's what advice or what would you like to share in closing with others?
That you can come back. You can have an incident in your life that'll stop you, but you can always come back. You have faith. Pray, believe in God, you can come back. If you don't have that faith and just lay there, you won't accomplish anything. And to have positive people around you. That really helped me.
So part of it is really, you know, family is significant.
Mm-hmm.
Having positive people around you.
Have faith.
Have faith. Don't give
prayer,
up.
Prayer, believe.
And know and believe that you can come.
Yes.
And then you got to be willing to put the work in. I mean, you can't just say.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just say that it's going to get all right. I just can imagine myself being better, because there's some work for you to do, and it takes some determination to stick to it.
It's a lot because it's painful. I'll give you a quick incident in therapy. He had to stretch my hands out. He literally put his weight on my hand to stretch them out. And I literally said they had tears in my eyes. That was the only way to get my fingers, to get that motion back. And he had to stretch them out. And then I sat there and tears coming in my eyes. So it's painful too.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't give up. Cannot give up.
Well, folks, that was Portia Grant. Probably the next time I see her, she's getting better all the time. She's walking. She's going back and forth up the steps. How many flights up and down them steps you going down now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 10 steps down here.
10 steps down to go wash clothes.
Yes, to go wash. I don't know how many it is outside.
Yeah. She's going to wash clothes. And then the other thing, I just want to add this too. So, because I remember her saying something about it, and this is very hurtful, and this is what people think about people sometimes, but people have the unmitigated gall to look at a human being with a condition and make judgments about them as if they're less than a person. So that's something else that she hadn't talked about, but that's something else she's had to deal with also, because she's still human. She just lives in this body that had a stroke. And she's now waking this body back up. She's fully conscious, living inside this body. It's not her. It's the body. And she's learning from the body. So, folks, I'm saying to you, there's a human being, there's a spirit in each one of these beings that you encounter. Be careful that you judge wrongly, because that's the judgment that you cast upon yourself. And thank you, Portia. But this, folks, has just been a part of the story. Peace and blessings.